Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
The Dublin footballers have stormed into Sunday's league final with a 21-point beating that Tyrone really should have seen coming after Desi Farrell's explosive pre-match pronouncement. I'd like to try some lads out and get some more game time into some lads that are coming back. We can afford to do that now. Whether that sees us in the league final or not, we won't lose too much sleep over it, Hamer.
See, this is what Allianz are paying for.
I know, yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Do they ever wonder, do Allianz ever... I know we don't often talk about the motives of sponsors in
these. I think about it quite a bit, actually.
Do they ever think, we could do a bit more, Desi? Yeah. Come on.
Now, I will say this. They have come up with the least inspiring sponsorship slogan I've ever heard. I mean, you write it, we underwrite it. Which is just a reference to something that no one knows anything about. You know, underwriting. I mean, I think I know what it means, but honestly, every time I ask my brain whether I know what it means,
well,
my brain gets
an insurance company.
My brain
we're
gets
giving Allianz
so
a lot
bored.
Of free advertising here. But
yeah, my brain gets so bored about whether about trying to figure out whether I know what underwriting means that I just give up in my own brain before I even speak it. So every time I see this, I'm like, you write it, we underwrite it. I mean, what does... It's like picking the least sexy part of your business model and making that the key kind of, you know, the tent pole around which you erect
Come on.
This entire
You're telling me there's nothing sexy about underwriting.
Yes, Owen, that's literally
I don't quite understand in relation to the league and the football and the sporting element to it. You write it.
No such thing as bad publicity, so I'm sure the good people at Allianz will be that. I mean, I've mentioned them again.
This episode, sponsored by Allianz. Paul Flynn and Michael Murphy.
Just the National Leagues, that's all.
Paul Flynn and Michael Murphy on the pod tomorrow for World Service members to talk about that Dublin Derry decider. That would be... I've already said it's for World Service members, but I'll say it again. Sign up on secondcaptains.com for only €5 a month. Plus VAT today. It's Jamie Wall on the hurling. Limerick manager John Kiely seems a little more energised by the league than Desi Farrell after being eliminated from it anyway. Mm. Speaking after losing yesterday's semi-final to Kilkenny quite comfortably in the end. The quality of the ball going in is determined by the effort outside. The effort outside was abysmal. And when you have good quality forwards, what else are they going to do? They're going to nail you. And we got nailed good and proper. Kilkenny were full value for the goals they got today. They could have got two or three more.
Yep.
Now, this is a means to provoke a reaction for the championship, if ever I've seen one. What he's saying to his players there is, lads, you write it.
Yeah.
I'll fucking underwrite.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. If you do not for a second think I will not underwrite this performance. See, we don't know what it means either. We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue what that word means.
Insurance.
But listen, whatever. I mean, it is an indication that there is a man reasonably secure that he has the dressing room. You know, I don't think John Colley's in any danger of losing the Limerick dressing room. Embarrassing, abysmal, not acceptable, and we got nailed good and proper.
We got nailed good and proper.
Yeah, I do like that.
Really good. You don't hear that too often.
No, you don't.
Manager of a team.
You don't.
But that presumably is just to get them going now for the championship. It's calculated, isn't it?
He's just
got flown off the handle after a poor league semi-final.
Yeah, I think as well, it's... sometimes you hear a manager's pronouncements and it's definitely just for an audience inside the dressing room rather than outside the dressing room. I think this one has a dual purpose, which absolutely is to put a bit of a fire under the players. I kind of get the impression that he said exactly this inside the dressing room as well. There is also, you know, Limerick have a lot on their plate when you consider that they're trying to become the first team to ever win five All-Ireland hurling titles in a row. That comes with its own pressure. There's obviously the Kyle Hayes news, which has been it, like the last 3 or 4 months. If you mention the Limerick hurling team, that's what comes to mind rather than even this drive for five. So there is a lot going on with this Limerick panel. And I think maybe a recalibration as in like what are our first principles as a team here is something. Kyle got a chance to talk about that on Saturday and he was never ever going to turn down that chance.
Kyle Hayes last week received a 2-year suspended sentence for violent disorder and a concurrent 18-month suspended sentence also for violent disorder. He was also ordered to pay €10,000 compensation to his victim. He had pleaded not guilty to the charges. The judge, Dermot Sheehan, had suggested at an earlier hearing that he hadn't ruled out a jail term, but he noted in his sentencing that society would not benefit if he were to impose an immediate custodial sentence. The judge also noted the traumatic impact of the attack on the victim, Killian McCarthy, at a nightclub in Limerick City in October 2019. He suffered a fractured eye socket. He still has double vision, can't drive at night. He's been unable to go back playing hurling and five-a-side soccer. He's been abused online, he says, that he feels that everyone knows me as the guy who was attacked in town, which that was quite a striking line. This thing has followed him around, you know, so he's the victim of the attack initially. And then as it goes on, it's obviously such a high profile case. This is what he is now known for around the place, which is sounds like an uncomfortable position for him to be in. John Kiley provided a character reference in the trial, speaking at the Munster Championship launch last Thursday. He says he wanted to support Hayes. That's why he did that. That's why he gave the character reference. But also, that doesn't mean I'm condoning what happened at all. Quite the contrary. Now, Hayes didn't play yesterday, didn't play at the weekend. He's injured. Mm. But he did play
against Dublin in Croke Park a number of weeks ago, and it was kind of a late enough addition to the team. Played well. We have no indication of when we'll see him again. I mean, the league final in ways might have been it could have been tailor made in ways for him to come back, because it is a league final. It's not Cusick Park in the first round of the Munster Championship, which will be a complete sellout. The one thing that everyone always says about Cusick Park is incredibly tight ground. So it will be a cauldron to throw Kyle Hayes back into if that's what Kylie reckons he should do. And I'm talking about this purely from a hurling perspective, because you know that's the next step in this, I suppose. But Limerick have tried to protect him, I suppose, to the extent that they can. They did play him in the Dublin game, maybe because they knew it would be a 3/4 or more empty Croke Park. It's not a particularly intimidating place to go to. Limerick will win the game easily. But that next move will be interesting. You know, it's like Colley has tried to say it's over, it's in the past, we move on.
That to me feels... It is in a legal sense, it's over.
Yes.
But this is one of the biggest players in one of the biggest teams in Irish sport who narrowly avoided going to jail not long before this team attempted to become the greatest in their sport in history.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like the kind of thing that just finishes at the very end of the court case. You know, obviously the publicity and everything is going to follow Kyle Hayes around probably for quite a long time. And it's something that I think Kylie's going to have to deal with on more of an ongoing basis there, even if he would prefer that it was put to bed at this stage. So listen, let's get into our chat with Jamie Wall today.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go
downtown.
When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know.
Downtown!
Just listen to the music of the traffic in
six
the street.
6'9" outside
the
air!
On the sidewalk where the neon signs
are. Oh, rejected by Parker!
How can you lose?
Pops the shot! Nothing but net.
You can't forget all your troubles.
Coast to coast, by the American.
So go downtown. Things will be great when you're
downtown.
No final place for sure.
Downtown.
Everything's waiting for you.
Downtown.
My keen eye for detail has revealed to me that there is a national final going to happen on Sunday which does not feature Limerick. Jamie, how's the form?
Very well, Hoan, how are you?
Not too bad. Now, maybe they're just keeping their powder dry for stiffer tests ahead. But would the nature of their defeat by Kilkenny be concerning, do you think?
Well, certainly if you were to take everything that their manager, John Kiely, said at face value, it would. Now, that is a massive if, in my eyes, whether I take any or all of that at face value. I just read the comments there. I saw the Monmouthshire report online, and I went in and grabbed the paper there just before coming on and had a quick read of what he actually said. And I don't know, it just seems a bit theatrical maybe. It seemed to me like maybe it might have been something that he was going to go and say regardless. I think the more you see and the closer you are to all these things, the more you kind of start to just take everything that's said in politics and GAA management and sports management in general with a pinch of salt. It kind of seems to me like he had gone in there with a kind of notion of maybe perhaps the week's training hadn't gone great and he was in bad form anyway. Perhaps he was in bad form at Peter Casey's moment of idiocy. All those things. But generally, I kind of feel like maybe that was more of a message for going forward, and he was quite happy to actually say it, like, and to come across that he was to come across. I think he was quite happy to come across unhappy. You know, we've got 4 weeks now till they play in the Munster Championship. I know he said specifically, this isn't part of some grand plan, and we're not out of this on our own. I thought his wording was even interesting, where he said, this isn't us exiting on our own terms. In that, maybe he'd have been happier if the performance was a little better, but the result wasn't that different. I don't know. Look, maybe we're in the. But I'm in the kind of state of just at this point, I've seen so much of Limerick in the last 4 or 5 years that even when they lose, I'm inclined to kind of say I'm not overly panicked for them. I feel like it will actually suit them fine to have a nice run in now. They'd have obviously earmarked the first game. Like, their first game puts them under a little bit of pressure, because if they lose that game to Clare, they're under pressure for the whole Munster Championship, and it's a huge game. So do they really want the distraction of playing these games, you know, playing a league final potentially against Clare? As well, as it turned out, it was against Clare, but obviously at the time they wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't say that they threw the game. That's not what I'm suggesting here. But what I am saying is, I don't know how focused they were on the performance on Saturday being the be-all and end-all of this week. I would say it's probably one of those where they have a list of priorities, and the priorities might have been, you know, getting in a hard week's training over the course of a hard two, three-week training block now, getting minutes into the legs of Declan Hannan and Sean Finn, getting certain guys, testing them out and seeing, right, is this guy up to it? Is he not? And then, if we can get a result while doing all of that, well and good. But it's very much down the list of priorities. That was kind of the way, that was my read of it. Like, and look, maybe I'd be proven wrong. Maybe it's the beginning of the end. But, you know, I think we've all seen enough over the last while to know that And I think not just Limerick, by the way. I think everyone in the league has certainly used the league for their own ends. So I think it's one of those ones that I just wouldn't be... I'd be holding fire just yet on any hot takes about it all.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting way of putting it. You know, that you can kind of say, well, Limerick didn't... You know, they didn't not want to win the game. Kylie might still be a little annoyed at the performance. But if you, at the same time, offered him Sean Finn and Declan Hannan getting through the game unscathed with minutes, even if both of their performances were kind of far short of what you'd expect from those two, and far short, let's face it, from what we'll see for the rest of the year from both of those individuals, and that's fair enough.
And that's why they needed the minutes, clearly. You know, like, as a manager, you'd be saying, God, they needed that time on the pitch, and fair enough, we probably lost because of it, because they weren't up to scratch, but we need them going forward. So that's kind of the way I, like, again, it's a much lower level, right? But in my own experience as a manager, we'll say I have an exact correlative scenario where in the league semi-final this year with the Fitzgibbon Cup League, it was before Christmas, and we had a couple of inter-county guys who were allowed to play for us, but only allowed to play for a certain amount of time. The final would have been against a very strong UL team that realistically we'd have been in the middle of exams and probably on a hiding to nothing in. So, like, our list of priorities, it wasn't that we didn't try to win the game, but our list of priorities were, okay, we get minutes into these guys with their teammates, we get them off the pitch unscathed because they're in the middle of a huge training block with their county, and if we can win the game, then for a finish, well and good. But if not, it's third on the list for us. So I just think, like, a lot of the time there's these things going on in the league, and that's what the league's about, you know. So it's one of those ones that I think, like you said, Murph, I'm pretty sure, like, let's not get it twisted here, they were abysmal, like, and their particular game as well. If you're tired, which they looked, if you're sloppy, which they were, it can look terrible. Like, you saw some of their passages of play coming out of defence where normally it's so crisp and you're thinking, God, there's no one can get near these guys. It was breaking down, and how much of that you could say was entirely Kilkenny's doing, fair play, they put a lot of pressure on, but also a lot of it was unforced handling errors, which could be the sign of a team that, you know, as Donal O'Grady alluded to in the commentary, a team that is in the middle of a hard training block. So it's just one that, look, at the end of the year, if they win the All-Ireland, we'll all be looking back saying, oh, it was part of the master plan. And if they get dumped out of the Munster Championship, we'll all be saying, you know, oh, they took the eye off the ball in the league, looking too far ahead, and that's where it all starts to go wrong. You know, it's the narrative of these things will be framed after to suit whatever result we have.
Yeah, and but I suppose from Kilkenny's point of view, having lost the last two All-Ireland finals to Limerick, you can make all the excuses as to why Limerick were off the pace yesterday. It is still a pretty big result for Kilkenny. They can still take a little more from it. You know, in the way that managers and teams do sometimes, you know, they can project a lot onto this win and say, you know, there's no hoodoo here, we can take him. And there's an element of convincing themselves of that, but they can do it on the back of a win like Saturday.
And the simple fact is, if they couldn't go and beat them Saturday, and you've no hope of beating them down the line, so for Kilkenny, it's a different proposition, you know. I think Kilkenny would be quite happy with their result. Their own performance itself wasn't exactly brilliant, like, by any stretch of the imagination. 317, like, it's a low score. 20 scores is probably not going to win you most championship games. Admittedly, three of them are goals, and the three goals, there was a similar feel off the three goals where they got isolation. They got Cody one-on-one twice, and they got TJ one-on-one. Like, as we all look, we could all see that TJ goal. Like, the minute the ball was flying in, you saw it was TJ inside, I think the umpire may as well have gone reaching for the flag before he even had the ball in his hand, because we all knew what was going to happen there. Like, and it was clearly something that they might have been working on. I think the other thing as well that you have to factor in for Kilkenny getting to a league final is quite useful, because they're going into a very different situation to, we'll say, Limerick in the Munster Championship. Like, they're going into a situation where, let's be frank about it, like, themselves and Galway are getting out of Leinster, and that's simple, and the rest can fight it out. But themselves and Galway are not going to be under any pressure to go to Leinster. They're far and away the best two in Leinster. So the game is absolutely no harm to Kilkenny. And that opportunity to go and play a really solid game against Clare in a league final is of an awful lot of use to Kilkenny, I think, by comparison. So I think, you know, very often they say, I think, I don't know, was it on your pod or was I listening to a different pod about, you know, the Man United Liverpool, the FA Cup result. But someone said that basically Man United needed to win that game a lot more than Liverpool. And when it came down to the crunch, it's not that Liverpool weren't hungry for it or any of the above, but the team that, if all other things are somewhat equal, the team that needs something more and that wants it, that needs it more as a result, and wants it more as a result, is the team that gets out of there. And I think there was possibly an element of that too on Saturday.
Limerick have had the Kyle Hayes case obviously hanging over their season, Jamie. It's the sentencing has happened now. John Kiely said last week, listen, it's over, it's been dealt with by the courts, we move on. I'm glad that it's come to an end, very much looking forward to the future, very much looking towards the future now. I know Kyle is looking towards the future as well and pushing on. That's it really, just glad that it's come to a conclusion. So it's very clear the message he's trying to send there. I'm not sure it's that simple though. It's been such a big story. The player certainly will feel some ramifications for a while yet, maybe the team as well.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, in a way, Owen, I think it is that simple, in that that's certainly the only thing, number one, that he can say. It's the only thing that he should say. And I suppose it's the only thing that I'm going to say is also that, you know, it has been dealt with by the courts. They're right, for right or wrong, that's the system of justice that we've put our faith in this country. We haven't come up with a better one yet. So I think you know, I saw a lot of amateur barristers and judges on Twitter talking a lot of nonsense over the last while about, oh, if it wasn't for this, this would happen. If it wasn't for this, this would happen. I think a lot of that is overstated. I think, you know, believe me, I'm working in law. GA doesn't buy you a whole lot around here. Maybe if he'd been of a different kind of code, there might be a bit more on that side of things. But it's not. I think all that stuff was quite annoying. And I think from Limerick's perspective, I think it is bound to have had an impact on the group. I think that's fair to say. And I think their focus will now be, we need to move on from this. It's been dealt with by the law. And, you know, that's, the due process has been served, and it's just a case of now the line has to be drawn under from their side. And
that has to be their message, yeah. But I just think
that has to be their message.
That we also have to see, though. Sorry, I'll let you finish there. I'm cutting across. You're going.
But I suppose, Owen, I also think that, to be honest with you, and look, this is just my opinion, that is the way the rest of us should be dealing with this as well, from all sides. Because I think it was correct that it was covered, but probably to the extent that it was covered. But I also think it is time for us to move on, because I don't think there's any benefit to spending a summer, people getting caught in inches out of something that, from both perspectives, by the way, I might add, from the perspective of the victim too, I don't think he benefits anything from an over rehashing of the incident throughout the summer. This isn't me making excuses for anybody in any side of things. I'm just saying, I think when we get into things like this, we're in the realms of, I suppose, you know, over talking things like this. And I don't know, does it do anyone any good? I think that the legal system has served its purpose, and whether you agree with it or not, it has gone and done its job. And I just think that it's probably something that as a country we should move on to the next thing, to be honest, and as a sport.
You are talking about one of the biggest names though on this huge team who are going for this era-defining achievement this season, of all seasons, that they're going for this 5 in a row, which would be an absolutely extraordinary achievement. And you have this going on in the background, you know, a player of this stature being involved in a case like this, which got such huge national headlines. I just feel, well, the management obviously have to say, look, it's been dealt with and now we have to focus on what's coming ahead. That's always what they're going to say. How the rest of the country reacts, we have to wait and see, I think, like how opposing supporters react to Kyle Hayes whenever he plays next, how the Limerick fans react, even opposing players. It feels like there's still a story there around Kyle Hayes for the rest of the summer. That's why I don't know if it's as simple as just saying it's done now, you know?
Yeah, and I think you're correct, Owen, like, and I think we all know how opposing supporters and how Limerick supporters are going to react as the summer goes on. I think it's just going to be another challenge for them as players, and also for the management in terms of how they manage this thing to try and, from their perspective, they're obviously going to try and take as much air out of this as possible. So it's, how do they approach it? I mean, they've got a guy, funny enough, one of the few guys I think who came out of Saturday with any credit is the guy playing number seven at the moment, and that's Cathal O'Neill. You know, do they look at maybe trying to keep him out of the firing line for a while and try and slowly bleed him back in? You know, perhaps, you know, I think it's going to be a test of their management without question. And this is, like I said, you know, this is me. I'm certainly shying away from any comment on the other side of things. I think we all are, to be fair. But in terms of the pure sporting element of it, it's definitely going to be a test of how they handle it as players and managers. And, you know, they obviously don't have their well-renowned sports psychologist in Carolyn Currid. This year she's not involved, I think, to the best of my knowledge. And I think, you know, it would have been probably something that over the last couple of years they've been so mentally strong when it came to any sort of issues around their panel, and dealt with them so well, and any sort of issues in terms of external pressures and all those other things. So it will be interesting to see. I suppose just from my perspective, I suppose when we get into something like this, I think it's very easy to get yourself into the weeds. I've seen a lot of people do it, and you're just always very kind of conscious of what you say about something like this, which is obviously a big deal for everyone who was involved in it.
What do you mean when you're saying, you're talking about shying away from the other side of it? What are you?
I suppose
there's been an awful lot of people who have been very public in their opinion on the rights and wrongs of the whole situation.
On what he should have gotten. And
yeah, all that crap, to be honest with you. And I think it's something that it's no more than we had a lot of amateur epidemiologists a couple of years ago. We have a lot of amateur barristers and judges online now. And I think it's something that the rest of us maybe have to just be careful with. I think it's a very fair question on the sporting side of it and that, and I think I'm quite happy to talk about that. But I think on the other stuff, I suppose, I myself find when you start talking about it, you're very careful that you don't want to get into, like I said, get into the weeds on it. Like
Tipperary, Jamie, were pretty bad in their own loss to Clare yesterday. Maybe they should be panicking. They're not in the same position as Limerick are in.
Yeah, I agree, Owen. It's about how you're bad, I think, you know. And I think Tip were abysmal from start to finish. They showed very little, close to nothing, in the game. They were destroyed against the wind. Clare put up a fierce score against them. If it wasn't for that Jake Morris goal, and kind of keeping them somewhat in touching distance, they would have been even worse out of sight. And that, I mean, that Jake Morris goal, which came from very little, it actually came from kind of a situation Clare were in control of, where they'd worked the ball around and Conor Cleary got it, and probably just the wrong man in the wrong place. Conor just slightly panicked and had a shot where actually if he shoveled it out to Carl Malone, Clare probably get another point. Instead it drops short to Barry Hogan, who works it out to Brian O'Mara, who zips it out to Dan McCormack, who finds Jake Morris all in the space of 4 or 5 seconds nearly. And if it wasn't for that goal and the goal off the throw-in just after half-time, like, those are real moments of window dressing on what was otherwise an absolute pasting. Like, they were really, really poor. And I suppose the worry from a Tip perspective is, who comes in and really makes it that much better? You know, they'll hope to have Noel McGrath back. You know, John McGrath, it was on the bench, isn't really, doesn't seem to be featuring. They obviously need to transition away from maybe some of those older guys. Bonner Maher, who has been an unbelievable player for Tipperary, didn't feature in the game really at all. I say that he started, like, but I mean, he wasn't a feature of the game. So they obviously need to try and move away from these guys. But the question is, are the guys coming behind them good enough to really challenge? Like, and you have to say the evidence so far is that they probably aren't. You know, the evidence of their games against Waterford and Galway last year was that they just don't seem to be hitting the level required to challenge. And you would be very concerned for them going into the Munster Championship that they'll probably be under an awful lot of pressure there. And it was just a really poor performance. And there's a lot of guys, there's elements when you watch a performance, you think he looks tired, you know, say, take for example, Keane Lynch wasn't exactly vintage for Limerick on Saturday, and he looked tired and he didn't look himself. But with some of the Tip guys, it wasn't that they looked tired or not themselves, it was that they looked ordinary. And I think that's has to be a concern for them. But I suppose then we've spent a long time talking about Clare as the team that are going to challenge Limerick. So maybe they just came up against what we're saying, they did come up against one of the top three teams. Is it just a sign that Clare have clicked into another gear going forward and that they might be ready to take the next step? I think it's a huge, funny enough, for a league that is much maligned and maybe people aren't fully enamoured with the value of it. I think winning a trophy for Clare here would actually be massive, would be a huge deal. And also, we mentioned Kilkenny getting the kind of Limerick monkey off their back. Clare have a Kilkenny-shaped monkey on their back for the last couple of years, and it's a huge opportunity for them. So it's funny, despite all the talk about the league and all that, it's and how little you can gain maybe from the group stage part of the whole thing, there is actually a couple of things that maybe that we're getting out of the latter stages of it.
Yeah, and I think maybe the fact that there's a team from each province in the final frees up the final much more as kind of as an event, a standalone. Because I mean, you know, even if it was Clare and Limerick, and even if Clare did win a brilliant league final, you know, 2 weeks later, it would be thrown back in their face. Geez, like, you won the league final and lost the game that really matters.
If they did, yeah. Like last year, where they won that unbelievable game in the Gaelic Grounds last year, and it was such an unreal occasion, and then they lose the Munster final, and at the end of it, you're kind of saying, what's it worth?
Yeah, yeah. It actually kind of paints you in a worse light, in a weird way. You know what I mean? That, like, you did it when it didn't really matter, which is just the unfairness of
it's the it's kind of the Irish rugby discourse.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of saying, oh, they'll go and win the Six Nations. No, it's like, well, surely they'd be worse if they didn't win the Six Nations, as well as losing the other thing, you know. So it's that. But yeah, I think you're right, Murph. I think having the two teams from the two different provinces, it just frees us from a bit of shadow boxing in that sense, if nothing else. They're not trying to hide anything from each other.
Yeah, there's, you know, there was an attempt this year to inject a bit of life into the league by redrawing the divisions and, you know, making the final positions in this league, redrawing the league for 2025. So a 7-team top division next year. Waterford were the big team, let's call them that, that lost out. They're going to spend 2025 in Division 1B. So the top 7 teams are in a 1A division. Waterford and then all the rest of the teams that were in the two equal groups this year are going to be in a 7-team Division 1B. I don't think that the league felt any more cutthroat this year than it did in the last couple of years, to be honest. I mean, for all the talk that was going to inject a lot of life into it, I mean, all it this redrawing means for Waterford is that they're guaranteed to be in 1A in 2026.
The following year.
You know, like that. That's all that it's done. I mean, 1 year of maybe a few substandard crowds, it's not exactly a massive price pay. It's not exactly the jeopardy that you're looking for to re-energise the competition.
But I suppose then, Murph, like, is that what we want? Like, do we want a league where it's... I mean, I personally have a bit of a problem with this league, and like, this is something that I'm...
The new league. The league
the
for
new
next
league.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah, the league. The impending league for next year. And also this notion that we have to have an unbelievably competitive league followed by another unbelievably competitive league, which is actually the championship, and then followed by finally the reason we're all here, which is the championship knockouts proper. I just think that we're getting it wrong in a lot of ways. I don't think there's anything overly wrong with the league being a slow burn. The championship is the championship, and that's what we're here for. Especially in the hurling side of things, especially the hurling side of the house. I think people have said for a long time that the leagues in the football are great. Now they're complaining about the leagues in the football because the proximity to the first round of the championship. But by and large, you know, the leagues in the football have been a great competition because teams are playing at their level. By comparison, we'll say, to the dead duck that has been the provincial football championships. But the provincial hurling championships have actually been good. So I think the league being worse than them, that's not the end of the world. I think that's the correct order for things. Like, you can't have everything brilliant all the time. And I just feared that by putting in this ultra competitive league where the top seven teams are there and then the next seven, what we're doing is we're creating... Well, there's a couple of problems I have with it. The first of them is that, I mean, teams are still going to pick and choose their games. They're not going to lose any, change anything in that sense. But what's going to happen is we'll just have weird results that we can gain very little from. Teams are still going to do their training blocks at certain times and target certain games. And that's probably still the way it's going to play out. So I don't think it's going to fix anything in that sense. If it does fix anything, we're going to have a scenario where the top seven teams all kick lumps out of each other and then they go into the provincial championships. And are our provincial championships actually going to be at the pitch we want them to be when we look at, you know, they've actually already had this unbelievably intense schedule. Now they're going to another unbelievably intense schedule. And it's, for me, that in itself, it's potentially an issue. Maybe it won't be an issue, but I'm saying, you know, looking at this, that's potentially another unintended consequence. And then the last one is, and I spoke to you a few weeks, months ago now at this point, where we spoke about the weaker counties. And now we were speaking much lower down the pyramid there, we'll say. But let's look at Offaly. They've had a minor success at provincial level, lost an All-Ireland final, under 20 success at provincial level, lost an All-Ireland final to Cork. And those young players are coming through. They've had good success at schools level. They're obviously hoping to try and progress Offaly. If Offaly are playing in that 1B, there is no opportunity for progression for them. They will probably come at best second or third in that league if they get things right. They won't beat the team that's come down. And even if they do then beat the team that comes down, they'll go up into this shark tank. They'll get the shit beat out of them for 6 weeks in a row and they'll be dumped back down. And what all we've done is create a cliff face where the kind of teams that are trying to develop, they either play teams, all teams at their own level and no teams that will kind of improve them. Well, maybe one, right? So it's all teams at their own level. So they'll only ever, by definition, they'll be stuck at that level. And then if they get it right and go up, they get five or six hammerings and sent back down with their tail between their legs. And to me, anyone who knows anything about kind of developing players and developing teams and all those things wouldn't go for this. So for me, this is very much a kind of a hurling's top tier just pulling the ladder up behind themselves and just saying, I'm all right, Jack. I want 30,000 in Páirc Uí Chaoimh for Cork and Kilkenny and I don't give a shit about the rest of you. It's Super League stuff, like. It's we'll have the Super League and forget the rest. This is about actually just getting more people into Páirc Uí Chaoimh, more people into Turles, more people into the Gaelic Grounds. If they ever play a league game there again, they seem to be minding that pitch very well. But, you know, so for me, it's actually, I actually don't like going on complaining. And I think over the last couple of years, my most controversial things I've said here, I've been saying that I don't think it was that bad a decision by a referee, or I don't think it's that big a deal taking money for Diego. And I've gotten more abuse for those things than I have forever for complaining about anything. But this is something that I actually am going to have a bit of a whinge about, because I just think it's the wrong decision and I don't think it's going to be good for hurling either at the top or in the middle.
Jamie, your whinge has been duly noted. Great stuff. Listen, thanks. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a million.
Owen, I like you and I like your style.
The second captain. We've got a bit better quality.
It's confident at any place, anywhere, all over the world.
Full of protein.
It's information. Fluid information.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do it while you're cleaning the house, brushing your teeth, taking a bath.
Trying to be critical is going to be impossible.
Murph, there's a new scourge in Gaelic football. It's not the hand pass or cynical fouling or lads firing GPS units at each other.
No.
That one died a death. That one should have really gone.
It's actually just a scourge of one incident.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it ever happened again, did it?
It's jerseys being literally ripped off players' backs, as happened to Galway's Paul Conroy at the weekend.
Yeah.
I say literally off the back, more off their front to be accurate about it.
Yeah, it was down. Now there had been a tiny little rip in Conroy's jersey already, but Adrian Spillane got a hold of it with about a minute of ordinary time left and just completely reefed it apart, you know, like it collar, like from the front collar all the way to the waist. And what I loved about it was Conroy, he kind of gathered it around himself like it was a cardigan, you know, like honestly he was like, as if he was saying like, if you just get me a safety pin here,
I can manage,
I'll work it out, don't no point in like throwing another jersey into the wash. Yeah. Like you just kind of like a little shirt, like a comfy little cardigan you put on at the end of work, on a smoking jacket of some kind. And yeah, it does happen a lot.
It happened to happened somebody to me in the studio just yesterday. It
bloody did on. I was out in Clondalkin playing a AFL 5 game yesterday morning. Took a mark. Hopped up. There was a couple of lads around me. I was trying to take the free reasonably quickly. Lads stood in front. I was kind of trying to clear my way between the jigs and the reels. Some lad comes up behind me, just grabs me by the collar and just rips it completely off me. Like, completely off me. Now, Owen, if I could take you back into the away dressing room in Round Towers of Clondalkin, about 45 minutes before this happened, I was having a lively debate with myself about whether it was cold enough for me to be wearing Under Armour or not. Because it was actually quite a mild day yesterday. I'm sure I could have gotten away without the Under Armour if I'd decided. Luckily for me, and for the numerous children involved that were present yesterday, I did have the Under Armour on.
Come on.
So no one...
Could have been so perfect.
No one had to see anything that they, you know, would be seared onto their brain for the rest of their lives. I did have the Under Armour, so I could actually have a laugh. I was literally like saying to the gentleman who had done it, you know, this is coming straight out of my membership, etc., that kind of thing, as opposed to just me running at high speed over to our dressing room. It's like, please hide my shame. Let me retain the last piece of my dignity. Get a sub jersey on me immediately. So listen on, it's all well and good. All's fair in love and war. I was walking out of back to the car at the end of the game yesterday when I met the two lads who were involved. And I actually should have stood for a photograph with the two of them. We had a big laugh on you. I got to keep the jersey. They gave this is the first jersey I've ever been given to keep by Temple Oaks Ink Street. So
no sports teams are giving away jerseys unless they're really, really writing that one off. Obviously a bad rip.
You rip it, you bought it.
Yeah. You write it.
You ride it, wheel under, rip it. You rip it, wheel under, rip it. On. That's why no clue.
Flynn and Murphy tomorrow for World Service members. We'll also have coverage of the Republic of Ireland versus Switzerland during the week. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you during the week. SecondCaptains.com is a place to sign up for €5 a month plus VAT. Second Captains podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. If you become a member, not only will you be supporting member-led broadcasting, you'll also hear all the episodes without any ads. So we hope to see you tomorrow.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.